Hi everybody, this is Ken here with an update on the Sonar project. There's only 11 hours to go as I record this. There have been 235 funders so far. That's a massive increase on yesterday. And they have contributed $8,633 of the $20,000. So that's a 43% goal. Bear in mind that regardless of what happens tomorrow, all that money will be going to the Sonar project. So this is quite important. Remember, last little push now, folks. If you haven't donated, this is your chance to donate. Yes, it is. Even if it's only a small amount or a big amount, it's absolutely fine. But you can also definitely now help spread the word by passing this on to celebrities or popular people with a large amount of followers on Twitter or on Facebook or any of the other social networks that may be available to you. We accept cash from all donations, from all angles. In other news, Klaatu just uploaded a show yesterday, which is kind of good because I need to edit it anyway to edit in this clip. And his last show was released on 2012-11-27. And looking here at the queue, the last show, the host with the latest show is 2012-12-19, and that was Charles NNJ. So therefore, based on the new scheduling rules of the person who has not posted the show the longest, we'll get bumped to the top of the queue, and that will be Klaatu today. Still to the queue as it stands, there are 15 shows in the queue. Hooray! Unfortunately, those are only from four hosts, so we will be alternating shows between Ahuka and 5150 over the coming period of time if people don't submit shows in the meantime. With the new queuing system, it is highly likely that your show will get bumped up to the top of the queue if you have not released a show since 2012-19. And then the other one was 2012-27 and January 10th and January 22nd. So those are the last show release dates for the good folks who have contributed a show. In other news, Hacker Public Radio Community News is going to be on in 9 days, 22 hours, 6 minutes, and 9 seconds at the time of recording this. I'm going to post the show and have a cup of rooibos tea. Feel free to join me.
You're listening to Hacker Public Radio. Hi everyone, this is Klaatu, and in this episode I'm going to be talking about RMail, that is the letter R-M-A-I-L, RMail, which is an application that you can use within GNU Emacs to check your mail and to reply to it and delete it and all the other things that you would normally do with email. So I spoke about GNU Emacs quite a few episodes ago now, and I spoke about it for a couple of episodes, specifically three. It was a three-part series. I think I might have snuck in something about DocBook and Publican, which spoke a lot about GNU Emacs. I don't think it was specifically an Emacs episode, though. But I spoke about it back then, and I probably mentioned, I imagine, I don't know, I haven't really listened to those shows in a while, but I imagine I mentioned that I have been using Emacs a lot myself lately, and that really hasn't slowed down. There are some days where I really do just kind of live in Emacs. So an application that handles email from within that operating environment is quite nice. It's very handy to have available, so you don't have to background Emacs and go out to Mutt or something like that. You can just stay within Emacs. You can check your incoming mail. You can write a quick message and send it off. Little things like that. It's a small matter of convenience, and it's kind of nice. So I thought I would cover it here because it's a neat application actually. So RMail, I think you might have access to it from without Emacs as well, but I'm speaking very specifically about it from within Emacs because that's how I've been using it. The nice thing about RMail and Mutt and probably Pine, although I have to admit I haven't used Pine in this workflow that I'm about to tell you about, so I'm not sure, but certainly Mutt and RMail, they're just MUAs. They're mail user agents. They are not MDAs or MTAs, or whatever the other ones are called. I think that might be it. But they're not mail transport agents. They're not mail delivery agents. They are simply the mail user agents, meaning that you can have one inbox file and you can use RMail and Mutt on it without any kind of conflict, because they're not handling any kind of back-end stuff like delivery and filtering and sorting and stuff like that. That's a powerful thing for flexibility, because what it means is that I can be SSH'd into a server and not in Emacs at all and check my mail in Mutt. Or if I'm SSH'd into that server and I'm living in Emacs that day, doing a lot of Emacs stuff like writing or coding or whatever, then I can, again, quickly check my email without ever having to kind of leave the environment that I have sort of up and running at that time. I could also send a quick message, delete some messages that I don't need anymore, all kinds of things with RMail, all from within Emacs. So it's a matter of flexibility for me, and it's also a matter of interest for me because I'm kind of interested in eSpeak, which is the voice-enabled, the screen reader-enabled Emacs hack that some blind user out there maintains, and it's kind of nice because it creates an all-text environment for blind users, and it reads everything off of their screen for them, and it all kind of works through Emacs. So having an email application that you don't have to fire up from within eShell or something ridiculous like that is kind of nice. It's just all very integrated with the whole eSpeak, eLisp, eMac kind of environment. So lots of different reasons to be interested in this for me. And for you, again, it could be a matter of convenience if you are a GNU Emacs user. So before I get into the specifics of RMail, which at the end of the day, it's just a mail user agent. If you've used one text-based user agent, you've used them all, sort of, not really. But anyway, you get the idea. I mean, it's a text-based mail user agent. It's a mail client that doesn't have a GUI. It just has you interact with it as you would with Mutt or IRSSI, for instance. You know, lots of keyboard-centric shortcuts and things like that. But the real trick, I guess, is understanding the back end of your email system enough to set this thing up correctly. So here's how we could talk about that. And I've covered this before in, I think, a GNU World Order episode, which is my other show that I do at GNUWorldOrder.info. You should go subscribe, I guess, if you want. But I'm going to talk about it a little bit again here because I feel like, well, number one, I probably understand it better by now anyway. And number two, you might not go hunt down that episode. So here's how electronic email works. Or electronic mail? Is that what email stands for? I'm assuming it does. So here's how it works. Well, actually, I'm bluffing. I really don't know how it works, but here's how I think it works. So there's a server on a computer, like a server application, right? And it's called SendMail, or you might be using something else, but it would be something whose job it is to, well, send out some email. And so the way it does that is the way that everything else on the internet works. You know, I mean, it looks for a domain, it looks up the DNS entry for that, and it figures out where to take this message, this text message. It does that, and it ends up somehow to your email server, whatever kind of email server you have. Let's imagine right now that you're running your own, because essentially, if you're going to be doing a lot of terminal email stuff on your computer, you almost kind of have to think of yourself as an email server, or at least it helps me to think of myself as an email server, because that just, it makes the back end make a lot more sense. So it ends up at your server, your email server. It knocks on whatever port you have available for email, for incoming email. And once all the authentication stuff happens, do you like how I just skip over that? So there's authentication magic, and then it delivers the email into the hands of something called a mail delivery agent. So the thing that has been traveling towards your server up until this point has been the mail transport agent. That's called the MTA. And again, that would be something like Send Mail, or I think Qmail, things like that. Probably, what is it, Dovecot? I don't really know. I've only used Send Mail myself. So there they are. Their job is to transport the email from one box to another box. Now, once it's at the box, it authenticates, it gets in, and then it drops off the email into the hands of the mail delivery agent, MDA, Delta, MDA. The MDA would be a program like ProcMail. That's the really, really sort of popular one. That's almost ubiquitous. I mean, it's a big one, ProcMail. And it is ProcMail's job to receive email and then kind of look at it and see where it's supposed to be placed on the system. So, for instance, if you have one email address that is receiving email, and then ProcMail could parse all the different messages and find out, oh, this one is to Klaatu, this one is to Gort, this one is to, I don't know, somebody else, and then it can distribute those to other mailboxes. So that's what ProcMail does, and you've probably heard of ProcMail recipes and all the different rule sets that it has. So it's a pretty complex and robust application, and it comes with a couple of utilities. I know I use 4Mail a lot. So it's useful, big, it can get complex. So that's ProcMail. And again, the job of it is to sort the mail, essentially. It has received the mail, and now it sprinkles it through the system to all the different eagerly awaiting email box accounts that are on that server. And after that's done, the only thing left to do is for the user to look at the email, to read it, to read and respond and all that other good stuff. And those are, of course, the mail user agents. The two that I guess I'm most familiar with in the terminal are Mutt and Rmail, although I used to use Pine a lot and did a Hacker Public Radio episode on it, so if you're at all interested in Pine, then do check that out. So that's the setup, right? You've got MTA getting the email from one server to another. You have the MDA distributing the email within your email server. And then you've got MUAs looking at the email, reading, replying, deleting, sorting, stuff like that. The good news is that most Linux distributions, at least in my experience so far, already have the MTA, most commonly Send Mail, could be something else, but seen a lot of Send Mail, already configured. You don't have to go in and build that. That's just something that Send Mail kind of does. And even if it's not already installed, you can install it, and it's ready out of the box. It knows how to send mail from your computer to some other place. That's one third of this equation that really you don't have to worry about. So that's the good news. The other news, it's not bad news, but the thing to keep in mind is that Send Mail, as its name implies, is a sending mechanism. It sends email out from one server to another. Very few of us, unless you really are running your own email server, very few of us leave our computers with the email port open, ready to receive anything that knocks. So on your own computer, if you're going to use Rmail, or Mutt for that matter, or anything else, you need some mechanism to kind of probe whatever middleman you use for your email. So whether that is your ISP, the email that they offer you, or some server that you have a VPS slice on and they've configured an email server for you, like the way some of the big web hosts do, or whether it's a service like Gmail or, I don't know, probably Yahoo or whatever other email services are out there. Whatever that thing is for you, wherever your address lives, that's your actual email server, right? So we want to go to that email server and kind of knock on its door and authenticate and see if there has been any email delivered to it meant for us, and then we'll pull that down to our local computer. So again, that's two different ideas. There's one of an actual email server, which of course its job is to receive email from another server. So it's got that email port open, listening, ready to receive email. Your laptop or your home desktop, it doesn't have that. It's hopefully behind a firewall, and you probably don't really want to deal with running your own email server these days. At least that's what everyone tells me. I haven't actually tried it myself. But it seems to be a pretty popular model that you use some other email server where there are people paid to sort of filter out all the obligatory spam and all that other good stuff, and then you go and fetch your mail from that server. And in fact, that's exactly what you use to get your email from that server. It's an application called FetchMail. FetchMail is, again, a pretty simple little application to set up. It's not really that scary. It's a little bit, it has its own syntax, and it's an interesting syntax. So for FetchMail to work, you simply create a .fetchmailrc file in your home directory, and then you give it sort of a little, almost human-readable kind of line. You'll hear it. So it's poll, P-O-L-L, space, the domain that you want to get your email from. So maybe it's gnuworldorder.info, or actually would probably be more likely, it would be mail.gnuworldorder.info, space with proto, that's with, and then space proto, P-R-O-T-O, as in protocol, space POP3, in this case we're doing it with POP3, colon, user, quote, klaatu@gnuworldorder.info, end quote, there, has password, quote, foobar, close quote, is klaatu here, and wants MDA, quote, /user/bin/procmail, close quote. Okay, so what on earth did I just say? So that's the line, that's the configuration line, and as you can hear, it sounds very human, so you just kind of have to keep in mind the syntax. So it's just poll the domain name with proto POP3, in this case, colon, user, and then whatever username is on that server, right? So it's user foobar there has password foobar is klaatu here. So you're telling it what user, it's almost like an SSH command. It's you're telling log into this domain as this user, even though I am such and such here. Now that might be the same on both servers. I tend to use klaatu on most of the servers that I join, but sometimes klaatu is not available, so I use not klaatu, and that becomes a little bit weird for me because then I do have different usernames on different servers. So in my case, I might have user space quote not klaatu at gnuworldorder.info close quote. Or if the mail server that you're using does not require or does not want the at domain name extension on the username, it might just be not klaatu, or it might be klaatu. So you have to define the user that you're logging in to your mail server as. So user, quote, not klaatu, close quote, there, as in over there, has password, quote, foobar, close quote, is klaatu here, and wants MDA, user bin procmail. So there we're just defining the password of the remote server. We're saying, hey, all of that corresponds to who you know as klaatu here on this server, and pass everything that you get, all the mail that you fetch, pass that on to the MDA of, in this case, quote, /usr/bin/procmail, close quote. And that does the exact function of going out to a server, knocking on its port, and authenticating with the password, which, yes, is plain text here. So you want to make sure, and I think FetchMail won't even let you do it if it's not, but you want to make sure that this file in your home directory is only readable by you. No other group, no other person should be able to read this configuration file. Is it weird to have your password in plain text in your home directory? Absolutely, it's nuts. I have no idea why there's not encryption on this. It's really, really bizarre. It's also the only way I really know how to do this. So, FetchMail, go out, knock on the server, authenticate, copy over the email, the new email there, to your local computer destined for the user klaatu, and piping all of that email to some MDA, some program that will be able to then distribute all that email throughout the rest of your system. Okay, so if we're using procmail, if you have procmail on the system that you're configuring, the configuration doesn't have to be terribly difficult. Again, it's a very, very complex application. Potentially, I mean, it can be as complex as you want it to be, but the most basic kind of configuration is really only needs to be four lines, and it needs to be stored in your home directory in a file called .procmailrc, and the four lines in mine, for instance, are path equals /usr/bin, maildir equals $home/mail, so that's the directory that I want to store all of my mail in, default equals $maildir, that's the folder I just defined, /inbox, so that's the default location where all those emails are going to get dumped into. That's just a file, inbox. And then log file equals $maildir/logs, because I guess we ought to have a log file. So that's all that procmail really needs to be. It doesn't have to be fancier than that if you're the only user on your system getting email. I have an account on a server where procmail is not available to me. It's not in it. It's somewhere in, I think it is in usr/bin, but it's not something that I'm allowed to create recipes for. I have no access to procmail. So there's another little application that you might want to check out if procmail either is not available to you on whatever server you are doing this stuff on, or if procmail just happens to be too maybe complex or something. There's this handy little mail delivery module called tmail. That's T as in Tom, mail, M-A-I-L. Tmail delivers mail to a user's inbox or a designated folder, possibly. I say possibly because it really depends on how the server is set up and what kind of privileges you have. But tmail is a nice little alternative, lightweight, or I call it lightweight. I don't actually know its like footprint, but I do know that in terms of the simplicity of setting it up, it is kind of, it's even easier than procmail. Not that procmail is necessarily difficult, but it is, there's zero configuration practically. So for instance, on this particular server, I might have poll gnu mail.gnuworldorder.info with proto pop3 colon user not clatu there, has password foobar is clatu here, and once mda quote /usr/pkg/ben/tmail/clatu+rmail close quote. All that's doing is saying, okay, fetch mail, once you've gotten all the email from whatever remote server I'm asking you to get mail from, I want you to pass it on to the MDA of tmail, and I give the exact path just in case, and then I give it the user and the folder that I want it to deposit my mail into. So in this case, it's clat2, and then the plus sign, and then the word rmail, all in capital letters. And the reason I chose that is because that's where rmail wants to look automatically for local email, is rmail. So that's my fetch mail and tmail configuration on one of my other servers. And that works really well. So either way, you want to set up you want to set up fetch mail to go get your mail. Use your proper username, proper domain name, obviously, and the proper password for that remote server, and then bring it in as for your username, and dump it into some file, probably in your home directory. There are other ways to do it. You could put it in some kind of system level directory, but I don't think that makes much sense. If you're being this manual about the process, you may as well make it all go to your home directory, because that way it will travel with you, it'll be portable, and you won't lose your configurations if you redo your system or something like that. So tmail or procmail for your MDA. There's not a whole lot, in most cases, there's not a whole lot that you need to do for either of those two programs. You'd really only need to delve deeper into procmail, or tmail for that matter, but really I think you'd want to go with procmail for this, but you'd want to delve deeper into that if you do have a lot of different accounts that you're checking and you need them to be deposited into separate files or someone else's home folder, stuff like that. And that's way outside of the realm of this tutorial. So at this point, we've got all of our email fetched. We've dealt with the delivery step. Procmail or Tmail has placed it into some file, and now there's a mail user agent out there just waiting to open up that file and parse it and show it to you in a friendly kind of manner. I mean, understand, and maybe you ought to do this, if you are this far along, you may as well just do a less or a cat on your inbox. You know, run fetch mail, and you might want to do fetch mail space dash K so that keeps the email. If you don't do the dash K, it will erase the email, and then if it doesn't know where, if you've configured something wrong, it won't know where to drop it off at. Like, it won't, if it can't find Tmail, it'll still delete it off your remote server. So fetchmail space dash K is a really good sort of safeguard against deleting email that you might want to read someday, without, you know, before you get everything configured. After you've got it all configured, you can discard the dash K, and you can let fetchmail delete things as much as it wants to. But at this point, you've got a file, and you can do a less on it. You can actually see what it contains, and it'll be ugly, but I mean, in theory, it is all of your email concatenated into one big file. And of course, most user agents, from what I understand, kind of they look at the from lines and kind of separate the messages based on that, and then of course they conceal most of the header text from you. This is why you don't see the headings like x-ironport-anti-spam-result received from this server and received message ID, date from, you know, all of these different things that the header usually contains when you do. Like, if you get spam and you're curious and you go look at the headers, that's what you do finally see. But in general, like in real life, when you're looking through your email, you just see the from and the to, maybe the CC or the BCC. Well, not the BCC. Well, maybe the BCC if you're the BCC person. And then you see the message. So it makes it a lot friendlier, and obviously it makes it look like separate messages, so that you don't have to go through and just literally delete chunks out of like this one file, which in theory you could do all of these things, but I don't know why you would. No, you'd much rather open Emacs and then launch Rmail. So you open up Emacs and you can do a meta X or alt X or escape X, whatever gets you into the mini buffer to issue some command. Meta X is what I usually use, and then type in Rmail. That is again the letter Rmail, all lowercase. That launches the interface for Rmail. There's some Rmail stuff that you can actually do without launching that interface, but let's do it this way first. So within Rmail, immediately looks for a file called Rmail, all capitals, located in your home directory. If that does not exist, then it will look to your mail spool, the default mail spool on your system, which is the same location that when you just type in mail or mail x on the terminal, that's what that's looking at, your mail spool. This may or may not be something that you actually want to look at in Rmail. I know that my mail spool on a lot of my systems are things like emails from cron jobs and stuff like that. They're not things that I actually think of for myself as email. Rmail can be directed to some other location. If you hit meta x rmail-input, I think it is. Let me test it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Input, yeah, rmail-input, and then hit return. Then it'll ask you, okay, well, what file do you want me to look at? This is very similar to mutt, and this is why I like them both, because they don't really care what they're looking at. They're not like, for instance, Thunderbird or Kmail. Nothing against either of those two applications. I use those on separate systems as well, but they don't create like a little folder and have all your messages kind of organized in that folder. And in order to get it to a different email application, you have to figure out how to export it out of out of that client and then import it into the next client. It's not like that. It's a big file with a bunch of emails concatenated together into it, and then you launch your user agent and it looks at the file, it parses it, and it gives it back to you in a user-friendly format. I really like that. I mean, I don't know how I feel about these huge files with all these messages concatenated into it. I guess in a perfect world, somehow I could have a directory with a bunch of files, each representing one message, and they'd all somehow magically have a really nice user-friendly name associated with them rather than random letters and numbers. But whatever. The point is that there's a high level of modularity here. So you can point rmail at any file that contains a bunch of emails concatenated together. It will parse it. I think it's based on the from line. I could be wrong about that. I could be mixing that up a little bit. But it parses it for you. It makes it look friendly. If you're in Emacs, which you are, but if you're in a terminal that supports ANSI colors, then you get all different kinds of colors and shades and things like that, so that it sort of stands out. You know, the subject line is blue, or the heading is blue, the text is green highlighted, the normal text is white, the commented, you know, the previous messages in the thread are red. It looks good, it's easy to read, it makes it very kind of user-friendly in the very traditional sense of, yes, this is actually useful for the user. So that's rmail. Looking at your email, you can go to the next message with Alt-N or Alt-P for previous, or I guess you call it meta. I'm calling it Alt right now. Alt-P for previous, Alt-N for next. That works. You can jump to the first message with the, I think it's the less than sign, and the last one with the greater than sign. And you can hit keys like R for reply, or D for delete, or X for expunge. Lots of very quickly accessible and pretty memorable keyboard shortcuts. And again, this is all within Emacs. So if you do hit R, it brings up a new buffer with the to and the from and the CC and stuff like that already filled out based on the contents of the message that you just that you're replying to. It gives you a blank line, or it gives you a commented line telling you where to start typing your message. You type some things, and then you hit Control-C to send it, and it sends the message. So the question is, how does it send that message? Well, the answer, of course, is through send mail, probably. That's if that's what's on your system, and it frequently is. And that's kind of the nice part. That's one of the nice things about this. It just uses your standard send mail settings for this computer. Now, that's nice if you're on a box that has all that stuff configured correctly. That might not work so well if you are not on a box that has all that configured correctly. So again, I did say earlier that you usually don't have to configure send mail. And that's true, strictly speaking. But the problem may arise that your ISP probably doesn't want to see email coming straight off of your box, right? They don't like it when we send email straight from our computers sometimes. They certainly not to some random server. They want to you probably have to go through an SMTP server in order to get your email out into the world. Otherwise, it'll probably be blocked because it's going to look like spam to a lot of email servers. And that's just kind of a side effect of the spammy world we live in. So the workaround for that I found when I was configuring Mutt for the first time is called MSMTP. So MSMTP is a mail transport agent, very much like sendmail, but instead of actually sending it to a destination, it sends it to, as you could guess, an SMTP server. Again, the configuration for MSMTP is not terribly difficult. It can be interesting if you're, I mean, depending on how your server is configured, the one that you're sending email to. So for me, I like to use SSL when I can, so my msmtprc file in my home folder consists of defaults tls space on tls underscore trust underscore file space home clatu mail thought premium server ca.pem log file space tilde slash dot msmtp dot log, and that's just to get SSL working. This can be found online, your the thought premium server certificates. You can find that online at Thought, actually. They make all of their certificates available for download. So if you download them and put them on some place in your system may also already have them, but if not, you can download them. I downloaded it and stashed it in my mail directory, and then point the TLS trust file to that. Then, if your server recognizes that, then that will be the SSL certification that you need to get that sort of working. Okay, so that was just for SSL. Then the rest of the stuff is a fairly traditional looking configuration file. It's account space, I don't know, GNU World Order. That's just a human readable. That's the name of this account. From clatu at gnuworldorder.info, so that's what you're setting your from line to. Host smtp.gnuworldorder.info, for instance. It might not be that for you. Well, it actually definitely won't be that for you. But, you know, it may be smtpout.secureserver.net, for instance. I have an account with GoDaddy that uses that, I think, or I did at one point. SMTP, or sometimes it's, I don't know, it can be anything. I mean, you have to look on your host settings and see what their SMTP server is that they want you to send stuff to. Port space 587, maybe, or 995, or whatever the ports are these days that people are using for TLS or SSL. What is the other one, 465 or something? I don't know. User space, again, this is the user account that SMTP server knows you as. So in my case, it might be notclatu at gnuworldorder.info, or it might just be notclatu, or it might just be clatu. It really depends on, again, what that server is configured to accept as your username. Makes sense, right? And it's funny because they're all a little bit different, or they can be different, so you kind of need to know what those settings are. Do they want you to give your full account name? Do they just want your username? How is it set up? Authentication type, I have it auth space plain, and then the password foobar, and then the account default that I, the default thing that I want SMTP to always use is the GNU World Order account, because it's actually the only account I have on here. So, you just look at what your server accepts as the different authentication methods, and it will tell you how to kind of configure your msmtprc file. Create one of those, put it in your home folder, .msmtprc, and again, make sure that no one can read it but yourself, because it does have your password in there, in plain text. Really strange. And then the first time you send an email from our mail, you will be asked, how do you want me to send this? And you'll have three different options. One will be to use your default transport agent. That would use sendmail, which, again, depending on your setup, may or may not be correct. You might want it to use sendmail. If it can, it will, and it will go very smoothly because your server already has sendmail already configured, and it's going to work. If you have no such, if you don't have something set in place, like for SMTP and stuff like that on that server, then that's not going to work for you. If it's not an email server, it's probably not going to work for you. It might for a while, but in my experience, it gets flagged as spam eventually. So go through your SMTP server. That'll be, I think, I'm working off of memory at this point because it's not in front of me. So I think it's the second option is that you can use some other program. And in this case, in that case, you would want to define for our mail, yes, use slash USR slash PKG slash bin slash SMTP, or whatever the path of SMTP is, and that way it will, or MSMTP, and that way it'll look for that program and it'll run that instead of send mail. So MSMTP becomes your transport agent off of that box to an SMTP server, and then send mail or whatever they use, Qmail, whatever, kicks in and makes sure that email gets from their box, from their email server to some other email server. And then there's a third option, and I don't remember what it is. It might be something like postpone and just deal with it later. I don't remember. But that's the easy way to set your mail transport agent in RMail. Just make sure that you have, or at some point, make sure that you have MSMTP RC configured, or existing and configured correctly, so that you can use your ISP's SMTP server, or your web host, whatever you're using. Okay, that's sort of it for this stuff, actually. Not quite, though. So, a couple of other things that you're probably going to encounter are the desire to just send an email. Maybe you don't want to go into RMail. Maybe you don't need to see your inbox. All you want to do is send an email. Well, happily, that's really, really simple from within Emacs. You can just hit Control X and then the letter M as in mail, and it will create an empty email message for you in a new buffer. You can send it to someone. You can put a subject in there and a from line and some text. And then again, just Control C, Control C, and it sends that message to whoever you've defined as the recipient. So that's really handy as well. Again, there's just really fewer and fewer reasons to ever leave Emacs the more you start using the features that it has to offer. And there are many. But even more than just the convenience of having everything in Emacs, like writing and checking email, if that's a concern for you, even more than that, for people who maybe wouldn't use RMail as much, getting used to the whole system of send mail or MSMTP and proc mail or tmail and these Unix tools that make email work, getting used to that really does help when you start wanting to flex your email capabilities a little bit. Maybe make it a little bit more modular, or maybe use a server that you have some access to but not all the access that you would normally want. You can still use some of these tools because a lot of these are very kind of user-centric things that don't really affect the server itself, or that, you know, it doesn't muck around with the server's email settings, but it still can take advantage of the ability to go out and check mail with fetch mail, bring it into your home directory, and then distribute it and parse it. So it can be handy for a lot of different reasons. And it just so happens that RMail in GNU Emacs can be part of that workflow if you want it to be. So hopefully this has helped you understand email and RMail and some of the options that are available to you on really any Linux or Unix system. Thank you very much for listening.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.